Welcome, everyone, to the fifth episode of The Podcast Dude, a show about podcasting by me, Aaron Dowd. And today I'm talking about how to use writing to supercharge your podcast and increase its value. Now, I've learned a lot about writing, especially for podcasting, in the past few weeks of doing the show, but I know a guy who's kind of an expert at writing, so I wanted to bring him on the show. Welcome back, Sean McCabe.
Hey, Aaron. It's great to be back on.
It's always good to have you back on, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about this show.
Yeah. So to give everyone listening just a little bit of context, Sean has been producing 2-hour-long podcasts a week for the past 18 months, and his shows are always jam-packed with value, and they always seem to be just impossibly good. He's got 417 five-star reviews as of this recording. So I wanted to get Sean on the show to talk about how he prepares for his podcasts with writing. And actually, we have another guest coming on the show today. Lacey, say hi.
Hi, everybody.
And this is Lacey McCabe, Sean's wife and partner.
My wife.
Yeah, and she's awesome. She recently took over show note writing responsibilities. So she's going to join us as well to share what she's learned about turning the audio recordings into the epic show notes we see on seanwest.com/podcast.
It's been something like half a year, I think, now. Hasn't it been?
Yeah, since December. So about 6 months.
She's been doing show notes for the Sean West podcast as well as Lambo Goal and, you know, different shows on the Sean West network. And she's been doing a really amazing job. Really got the process nailed down. Got a good workflow going.
Finally.
Yeah. And the idea for the show actually came about because a couple of weeks ago when I was launching my first podcast, really, I sent over the show notes that I had written up to her just to look them over. And she sent me back this long email that had all these great bullet points about what I needed to do differently, just some feedback and stuff like that. And I was just blown away by how much went into it, but also just the great knowledge. So we're going to get into that a little bit later. But thank you guys. Thank both of you guys for coming on. So the idea, like I said, the idea of the show came from really just what I've learned in the past few weeks about writing and podcasting. And the biggest thing, I think, is starting with the takeaway in mind, because in my mind, a great podcast episode has at least one takeaway. So this is just the big idea of the show, right? And I like learning. So a perfect podcast for me is one that tells me right away, either in the title or the description, what the show is going to be about.
So,
and we'll,
Aaron,
call this the takeaway.
In this case, would we say that for this episode, what we're going to be giving people is kind of a two-part look at how to use writing when it comes to podcasting, both up front in preparation as well as when you're done turning that episode into show notes?
Absolutely. And see, this is exactly why I invited you on the show, because you're so good at this. But yeah, so that's what it's going to be, preparing and then writing show notes, because really this process has helped me so much in my podcasting process. So depending on the structure of your show, the takeaway might be a single large topic with a bunch of subtopics, or it could just be a very single focused single topic. So that's really up to you, depending on how you want to do your show. And I think a short 20-minute podcast that gives an in-depth look at a single topic can be just as valuable as a 2-hour-long show about a few different topics within the context of a larger takeaway. For example, you could do a podcast episode about how you use the Apple Watch to track your fitness. You could also do an episode about the 5 best reasons to buy an Apple Watch. So there are a few different ways to structure this, but I found that starting with a takeaway really forces my brain to think about kind of the difference, what I call, or how I think about it, is subheadlines. So important things to share with people. Thinking about those different things over the course of a week, I come back and I revisit those topics and I do a little bit of writing, and then I think about it some more and I do some more writing. So that's helped me out a lot. But I wanted to talk to you, Sean, especially about how you decide which topic you actually want to podcast about. You do 2 shows a week. So that's, you know, that you've covered a lot of ground over the past 2 years.
Yeah, it's pretty challenging. First of all, I have done two shows a week for the past, you know, year and a half or more. But more recently, since starting Lambo Goal, I'm now doing three shows a week.
Right.
So three days in a row, a brand new hour-long episode that is hopefully valuable, hopefully giving people some sort of takeaway. And yeah, it's really challenging, especially when you're thinking of it in terms of like, I got to come up with a topic that's interesting to people. Mm. You know, I have to come up with a topic that's interesting for people. But the real trick is letting people come up with those topics for you. You want them to feel like you're reading their minds. You know, they're like, oh, wow, how did you come out with this episode? That's exactly what I was wanting to learn, exactly what I was hoping that you would say. Well, you're not going to hit that just by guessing all the time. I hope people like this. I hope people are interested in that. You've got to ask them. You got to be asking them what they're interested in. And I have one really big tip that I've shared before for getting these topics, the topics that are going to resonate with people, the ones that are going to make people feel like you're reading their minds. The biggest tip is to point people to your website. Have an email sign up form there. But when people sign up, send them a welcome email, just an autoresponder. And inside this email, you basically want to do three things. You want to tell people who you are and why they should listen to you, what to expect and when to expect it. And then finally, the third thing you want to do is ask them what they're struggling with. So you're kind of setting the stage as far as who you are and what they're going to get on this newsletter. And then you're asking them what they're struggling with. So you're kind of priming the discussion, and they're going to be really, really eager to share those with you. And you can collect those. You know, ideally you're responding to people and engaging in conversation, but you're going to want to collect those topics, those questions, and those essentially become the topics of your podcast. That's how you're going to get these episodes that, you know, people come back and listen to over and over, and generates all of this feedback from people saying, wow, like, I feel like you're reading my mind.
Mm. So is that what you do?
Oh yeah. All of my topics are, as much as I can, are a direct response to someone's question.
Mm. And do you keep a list inside of, I think, Wunderlist?
Yeah, I use Wunderlist. I just have a category for the topics, and I'll put in titles, and then in the notes, maybe that person's specific question, so I could actually bring it into the show.
Yeah, so you've got this whole bank, and you just add to it anytime you see a new question, or anytime someone responds to that question about what they're struggling with, you just add it to that bank of show topics.
Yes, and Miranda is asking in the chat, so how do you come up with topics when you don't have anybody to ask yet? Should you
That's
start
a great question.
Or she says, should you only start a podcast with an existing audience? Well, obviously, you know, that's going to do really well right off the bat if you have an existing audience. But I think podcasting is a great way to build an audience. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting those questions just from people automatically, if you're not opening up your inbox and you just have all of these topics ready to go, I think you need to go out and start those conversations with people. This autoresponder thing where you ask people what they're struggling with on your email newsletter, that's kind of a little trick. You know, if you already have people coming to your website and signing up, that's a trick. That's a way to be able to capture the struggles and the questions that they already have. If you're not getting that influx of people, you need to go where the people are. You need to start the conversations. You know, go on Reddit, go on Twitter, go on Facebook or Instagram, start communicating with people in your niche and strike up a conversation, ask some questions, or maybe just go where the people are and observe the things that they're talking about. Observe the struggles that they have already. Maybe you search Twitter for a certain keyword that is your niche, your industry, and frustrated, or frustrated when, or hate it when, you know, little keywords like that, that can kind of uncover these struggles that people are having, that they're posting about it in a public forum, but that's, you know, a free opportunity for you to observe it and write that topic down.
Yeah, I think that's great. So you're collecting, and I'm doing the same thing as well in the program I use is MVAlt, but I just have a list of show topics. So anytime I come across something or I think of something that could be interesting for a podcaster, that someone has a question, they ask me in an email, and then I add it to that list. And that's a starting point for the podcast episodes that I'm going to do, for the ones that you're going to do. So I want to talk about after you come up with that initial question. So that's kind of the takeaway, right? You're in a lot of cases, you're answering people's question, and that is the takeaway from the episode. How do I do this? You know, how do I solve this problem? What's the best way to go about this?
So the topic or the title, that is the question that you get from someone. So you're not necessarily giving away the answer or the solution in the title. The title is more what relates to the person who has this struggle. You know, you're saying, like, one of the titles I use for my blog post is, I feel like everyone's already said what I have to say, or there's too many people. Oh, it was, there's too many people doing what I want to do. A lot of people can relate to that. They feel like they're a small fish in a big pond. So you make the title something people can relate to, but then the actual meat of the episode is your answer to that. So when you prepare, you would want to come up with the takeaway. Like you said, start with the takeaway in mind. But the way you come up with an episode is you flesh out an outline, kind of steps leading up to that takeaway. So maybe what is the first step in being able to get to this solution that you've come up with? What are you going to need to be able to set up in order to be able to get there, and kind of take people along that journey? So you don't even have to, you know, we had a question from Sarah earlier. She said, how much writing is too much? And is it going to strip the life out of your podcast if you're writing too much of an outline? You know, should I just write thorough paragraphs that I read? And this is a pretty common question. You know, how much do I script? And I would say script just enough to have structure, not so much that you smother spontaneity. You know, you want to have some structure to it so that it's not just rambling and people feel like, you know, you're wasting my time. Are you going to get to anything of substance? Give it some structure, but don't script the life out of it. Leave some room, some breathing room for spontaneity to happen.
Yeah. And if I can touch on that real quick, I, over the past, you know, 4 episodes of my show, my favorite episode yet was episode 4. And that was How to Edit Podcasts Like a Pro. I did a lot of writing before I recorded that episode. And I told you yesterday that I really had about 90% of that, of what went into the podcast, was written, was scripted. I read it, and I actually don't think it stripped the life out of my podcast. In a sense, it made me more confident because I had invested probably 3 or 4 hours over the course of the previous week thinking about it and writing out the outline and then fleshing out the outline. So I'd come up with a bunch of headlines, and then I need to talk about this, and then I'd write a bunch. Then I'd come back and I'd rewrite it. And what I ended up with was this outline, this massive kind of what I would call show notes. But it was great because I felt confident that I had touched on everything that I wanted to touch on, and writing it out gave me the confidence to focus on my delivery of the message, of the content. But at the same time, there were times when I was recording where I realized that I needed to add to what I had written or say it a little bit differently, and I gave myself the freedom to do that in that moment.
Can I just say, I saw those show notes for your last episode, episode 4, which people can get to by going to thepodcastdude.com/4. And I was blown away. I was like, man, these are incredible show notes. They're so thorough. Like, this is really great. And you told me I had most of those written before I even recorded the show. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. And I don't think people really realize that. A lot of times they think, oh yeah, you prepare for the show, make sure it's valuable, and then afterwards you got to do a transcript and make sure you write everything down. Well, really the outline works as the structure for your show notes at the end. You know, your outline has those bullet points in the different sections, and those show up again. They resurface in the show notes.
Absolutely. And another thought that I had, and we should mention, most of what we're talking about right now, this show right here, we did not script this. I have a couple of questions that I wanted to ask you. I had an intro, but these conversations are just flowing from us talking. But what I have realized and what I've found is that if you're going to do a solo show like I am, a lot of the times, you know, I'm going to have more guests on here, but if you're doing a solo show, then I think the more you write, the more you prepare, the more confident you'll feel about delivering that message, because you've thought about it beforehand, you've written about it, you have everything you want to say, and then you can feel good. You just feel, all right, I'm ready, I'm prepared. Well, let's go in and let's do this, and I'm going to knock it out of the park.
Can I give a little tip there?
Yeah.
Because I totally agree with that, especially for solo shows. You're going to need to script more just because you have more dead air to fill. You don't have a co-host who's going to chime in.
Yes.
You know, back in the radio days, and we do live shows here too, but in the radio days, you don't want to have any dead air, you know, more than 3 seconds, and you're risking that someone could possibly tune in right during those 3 seconds of dead air and think that the station's bad and they move on. And that's not what you want, right? So you got to keep things filled, right? You don't want that dead air. And that's really hard to do when it's just you. And so I would say you do want to script more, but what I wouldn't do is script every single word that you're going to say. What I would do is write out bullets, just little sections you want to touch on. So the most recent episode I did that was a solo show was one on public speaking. And I had a bunch of bullets for that, but I didn't script the entire episode. And it ended up being over an hour long, just me, without any dead air, which was pretty crazy. But I had bullets, and I know my subject well enough that I can kind of expound upon any of them whenever I want to. And yeah. So I would say have maybe like 120% of the bullets that you think you'll need. That way you can choose not to go to all of them, but more than likely it's going to be a lot more condensed than you realize. And suddenly you're going to be at the end of your list and it's a super short show. So I would say prepare a little bit more than you think you'll need, but do it in bullet form, not just reading word for word.
I like that. I'm, you know, I wanted to ask you real quick, actually, since we're on the subject of scripting, do you think that you could deliver, do you think that you could read an entire blog post, but deliver it in a way that nobody knows that it was scripted at all? I'm just curious.
I think you can do it if you have two things. One, if your writing style is very, very natural.
Mm.
And I think that only comes through practice. It comes through a cyclical approach of writing something, reading it and recording yourself, listening back, and then writing what you hear, and then repeating that process over and over. Eventually, your speaking improves because you're not filling the space with filler words, but you're just reading words that you wrote. And eventually, your writing improves because you find that some of the things you might be inclined to write aren't actually written the way that you speak. Mm. And it doesn't sound very natural. So going back and forth through that really improves your writing and your speaking at the same time. So the first part is having a natural writing style. And then the second part is just a bunch of practice. So I think it is possible to get, you know, a natural sound, but it's pretty difficult.
I agree with you. But I do think that is something people should strive for, because I was listening to an audiobook the other day, and the delivery was phenomenal, and it sounded so natural. It sounded just like someone telling a story. But he obviously, the reader, the narrator had obviously practiced a lot. So, but I do think that's something people should prepare for. All right. That's pretty solid, man. I really, really like everything you just said right there. So at this point, just to recap, you've come up with a show topic. You got a takeaway in mind. I'm so looking forward to your either writing or a course on how to write titles, because you're so good at that. And that is something, that is a skill that I need to develop more. I want to develop that more because it's kind of an art. But anyway, I'm looking forward to that. So you got a title, you got an outline, you prepared, you've done some writing, you feel confident that you can deliver some kind of value. So you do the show, you record the show, you talk, you cover everything you want to. Now, what happens next? And this is where I want to talk to Lacey about this.
Lacey, you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
she's listening patiently. See, this is what she does all day long, is listen to us talk on podcasts.
Well, now it's your turn, Lacey.
No, it's pretty fun. You say a lot of good things, so that's good.
Yeah, and man, I know how it feels to just listen to Sean deliver lots of good things. So first I wanted to ask you, what's your background in writing, and how did you get the job of taking over show notes for Sean?
Well, I don't have a lot of background in writing, like as a job. I used to do it a lot as like a kid and in college, just kind of for fun or because I had to for school. My mom is actually an English and reading teacher at a community college, and I was homeschooled, so she instilled a lot of that in me since she was my teacher. Writing was a way of life for us. Like, that's what we did, like, at my house, you know. And
didn't you used to write fiction as well, like short stories and stuff?
Short stories as a little kid. Yeah, and my grandfather was actually an author that published a couple of books in my really small town. When I was like 11 or 12, I would go over to his house and do editing passes of his books. And I think that really established like an eye for, you know, things that need to be edited. And it was pretty cool. Like, you know, to say wow. that you could do that. Yeah.
At 11 or 11 or 12 years old, you were editing a novel.
Yeah. But not, you know, I mean, it wasn't like a final deal, but I would do like a pass or two through it. So that, yeah. It was fun for me. That's what I'm like doing.
So for the past few years, let's jump forward a little bit. Obviously, you're I think you're a good writer from what I've seen. I would love to see a blog from you at some point. I know we joke about that a lot. But so at some point you took over the responsibilities of show note writing for Sean.
Right. Yeah, the last couple of jobs that I've had have been, you know, nothing to do with writing. Like, I've been in the restaurant industry for a long time. And writing kind of was just like a thing I used to do. I've always listened to Sean's podcasts. And so when Sean was in need of help, you know, to do show notes, it just seemed like the natural transition for us. Like, I don't know, I guess I volunteered for it. I didn't really like interview for the job.
She didn't know what she was getting into.
I didn't know what I was getting into. I was just like, yeah, like, I'll do some show notes for you. Like, I listen, I can write that stuff down. Like, that's pretty cool.
And then you found out Sean is a slave driver.
And that show notes can be taxing sometimes.
You have written some 10,000 plus word show notes for certain episodes.
Yeah, for sure.
That's insane.
I'll have to link to a couple of those. Because, okay, and if we could hit pause for a second. These, when a lot of people think about show notes for podcasts, sometimes it's a short outline. Sometimes it's a transcript of the episode. Sometimes it's just like a description, a couple sentences, and then a list of links of stuff they've talked about. But these are, Sean West's show notes are an entirely different beast. This is like part transcription, part blog post, part ebook. Like, these are huge, long sections. Like, seriously, 5,000 to 10,000 words. There are ebooks that are shorter than that.
Okay, can I tell you why and maybe give a little bit of an overview?
Yeah, I'd love that. I think the listeners would too.
Okay, so
why?
But yeah, well, we had this question. Pam had a great question earlier. You know, what's really the benefit to doing these crazy exhaustive show notes? No one else is really doing this. Like, why do we do it? What's the point? Is the investment really worth it? And I'll say, first of all, monetarily, no. I mean, let's be honest, like, we're not making a ton of money from doing this, but it's all kind of indirect ways of giving people value, providing value, and, you know, just the mindset of that's going to come back in other ways in the future. I have a few bullets here that I wrote down when I saw that question, probably in order of least important to most important. So first of all, SEO, otherwise known as search engine optimization. Mm-hmm. If you have a ton of written content on your site, the search engines are going to notice that. You're going to show up in Google for all kinds of keywords just because you spoke them. If you have them written on your episode, you're going to show up for that. People are going to find you. You're going to get more traffic. So that's really good, because audio it's impenetrable. You can't even really scrub through it, or, you know, like on YouTube, right? You can hover over the progress bar and see a thumbnail preview, or drag the progress bar to certain points, and you can just visually see what's going to happen right there. You know, a picture's worth 1,000 words, right? With audio, you don't get that. There's no real way to access the audio. Podcasts are very difficult to get into. It's a very big upfront investment. And so having all of that out there, just makes it more accessible, not only for search engines, but for humans. The other thing, and like I said, this is not the sole reason that you should do show notes, but it is a factor. We do have deaf people in our audience. And when you have an audio only medium, it's not a video with captions. It's not something that someone with, hearing impairment can enjoy. Having exhaustive show notes is very, very helpful for them. They say all the time that they find it super beneficial. Other people, they're just really pressed for time and they appreciate the content. They appreciate the topics, but you know, maybe a stay-at-home mom has a few kids and she's super busy. She can't find a quiet, solitary hour to consume the podcast. And so she'll quickly go through the show notes and get the gist of it. What we started doing more recently is what we call highlights and takeaways. So just getting together the best nuggets of the episode. What I tell Lacey is, imagine that this person never heard the episode. They never pressed play. What do you want them to take away from this? What do you want them to get out of this episode? And Aaron, that's where coming up with those takeaways ahead of time is so beneficial, because you have them written before you do the podcast. You make sure to weave them in, and then you automatically have a list ready to go to give people highlights at the end.
Yeah, I love that. And have you started writing those takeaways in advance of recording the show, or is that something that Lacey will sometimes come through and say, hey, I think this is really, really great. I want to throw that in the takeaways list.
So up front, I used to do more of it myself. And I would try and highlight those in the outlines. And more lately, I've kind of gotten a really good rhythm with Lacey, and she knows what parts of the episode are important and what to pull out. And so I'll typically just have a general structure or an outline, and then she takes that and turns it into the show notes. So for me, we kind of have a good team rhythm going here to where I don't have to be super explicit just because she knows.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I like that. And the other thing is that, like you said, people consume content in different ways. So if you do a bunch of writing, that's, you know, those extensive show notes, that blog post is not just wasted. It's going to be there forever. You're going to have that to go to later. If someone asks you a question, you can pull some of that out. You can send that as a response to an email. You can just direct people to that link. So I don't ever think writing is a waste of time, ever.
No, that's huge. Diversification of mediums. And I actually had two more bullet points. The two most important things, the biggest benefits of show notes is, number one, it allows people to reference back. So let's say someone listened to this episode and they're like, man, these are some really good points. You know, I want to think about this the next time I blog or make a video or a podcast. And they heard the episode while they're in the car, while they're working out or running, but they want to go back. And they don't want to go back and listen to a whole hour long thing. They just want to go back and find certain nuggets. And this is what I find that a lot of people who listen to the Sean West podcast do, is they go back to episodes they've already heard. And that's when they reference the show notes. So a lot of people are like, I never read the show notes. Like, why do you waste so much time on those? And then they go back and they listen. They're like, man, that was really helpful. Or that they can search for the name of the show plus a certain keyword in Google, and bam, they've got that page immediately. Not only the page, but because we do timestamps in the show notes, they can find the exact point that it was spoken and go to that and listen to that just right there. You know, it saves a bunch of time for them. The very last thing, and you were alluding to this a moment ago, is repurposing content. This is the number one most valuable and most overlooked benefit of show notes. You've heard me talk about this before, Aaron, on my podcast, episode 139, It All Starts With Writing. Everything starts with writing. Everything you want to do. You want to make a play. You want to write a script. You want to do a podcast. You want to make a video. You want to write a blog post, a newsletter, make a course. It all starts with writing. And if you have audio, you don't have written content. So if you turn that into written content, that is the least common denominator of every other kind of media that you can create. So when you have the written content, you can repurpose that. You can select and copy that and send it in an email, either as a newsletter or a one-off response. You can turn that into a video. That's what I've done with Sean West TV. Is I took the podcast episodes that resonated the most with people, that got the best response, And I basically had an outline for my video right on the show notes. I just go to the show notes for the episode and there's my outline for the video. I just take that and I turn it into a video. I put it on YouTube and it reaches a totally different audience.
Yeah, that's really great. I did want to ask you real quick. So timestamps, could you give a quick explanation of how that works? So you've got a link on your page next to the bulleted list of the show notes, and someone clicks on that, and that redirects the audio player on the page to a specific point in the audio recording.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a little hyperlink that uses some JavaScript, and it's able to go to a specific point, whatever you tell it, in the HTML5 audio, and it's really handy for jumping to specific points. And what we do is we have little shortcuts or macros where when Lacey's doing the show notes, she'll be looking at the audio file. And when she finds a point that she wants to make a note, she looks at the timestamp, wherever the time is in the episode. And we run a little macro that just creates this hyperlink for that particular point. So it just, you know, creates an anchor tag, it puts the appropriate timestamp, and then it puts the actual, whatever the runtime is. And basically, it's a macro using Keyboard Maestro, where you just type a little shortcut, enter in four numbers, hit enter, and it puts all the code in for you.
Yeah, and I do something similar with Text Expander, which is a program. But so you mentioned JavaScript. So the JavaScript that you would have to add to your website or your blog to make this all work, I believe can be found at, it's called Time Jump, and it's by Dave Rupert, I believe. He was the guy that came up with it. And so you'd have to download that and insert the script into your head, I believe. I'm not a web designer.
Yeah, he's got the instructions there, but I love Time Jump. It's awesome.
Yeah, so I'll include a link to that if that's something you're interested in doing. It's I'm not going to say it's super easy to set up, but it is possible if you're at all familiar with web designing. Cool. All right, that was a lot of good stuff, man. So, Lacey, let's come back to you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of walk me through your workflow of what happens when, like, after Sean records, he sends me the Logic project, I do the editing on it, I clean it all up, I make it sound nice, and then I send it back to you. What happens then?
So the first thing I do with the audio file is I listen for the point where you guys kind of really dig deep into a topic. You know, there's usually like 5 minutes of chat. You know, I'm sure in other podcasts there's a lot more than that. But, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of just kind of chatting and like kind of touching on the subject. But
follow up usually.
Yeah, yeah. And so I listen for that point, and that's the first timestamp I use. And as far as timestamps go, I change timestamps when a different person is talking. So if you have a co-host, you know, that's what I do for that. And then it's about a paragraph per timestamp. So even if someone talks for a really long time, you know, and I condense it down to two really long paragraphs, that would be two timestamps just for readability. Otherwise, it's like reading a page in a book that doesn't have any breaks.
Yeah, you want to give people different entrance points. So even if one person talks for a really long time, you don't want to have that go on for a whole page. You want to break that into paragraphs and add timestamps wherever there's like a change in topic or thought.
Right, exactly. I think of it as kind of like, you know, a scroll of the screen as like a page of a book. You would want to see multiple paragraphs on there, not just a solid block of text.
Yeah,
and speaking of every page, something else we try to do is we do block quotes throughout. And maybe we should back up and talk about actually how we do the transcript, because it's not really a transcript. That's why we call it show notes.
Right.
Because do you want to talk about that?
I actually have some tips on how to do that.
Well, tell them what it is first. So a lot of people think, oh, you just write down exactly every word that was spoken.
Right. So it's not an exact dictation of what is spoken. It's a condensed, readable format of what is said.
We're basically imagining that the person who's on the show notes, let's say they never hear the audio, we want them to have a really good reading experience.
Right.
And so sometimes if someone loses their train of thought or they stumble over their words, we rewrite that. We kind of finish their sentences. We make it smooth. We remove any erroneous statements or, you know, tangents just to make a nice, smooth reading experience.
Right. So another example with the book is, you know, using the book as an example, is books have dialogue, but they're not all dialogue. You wouldn't want to read 10,000 words of dialogue in a book. So there has to be some readability there to kind of, you know, break it up. And I've got some tips on how to make things readable. Are we ready to get into that?
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Good. Okay. So something that a lot of people do is verbal transitions that don't necessarily need to be in a readable format. So a lot of times people will start a sentence with so, yeah, or even saying and.
Exactly.
Just as a way
to,
just as a way to, like, you know, you don't just stop and then have a space, dead air for a period, and then you start talking again about something else or about, you know, the next sentence. So eliminating verbal transitions is one of the biggest things that I'm looking for when I'm listening. Basically, I'm listening to the sentences that are being said, and I'm thinking how I can make that into a readable format. Like, how would I want to read it? So if someone says, and this, you know, I wouldn't put that first and, because I want it to just start at the beginning of that sentence.
So you're taking some liberties with how you write. You know, you listen to what the person said, and then you think, okay, how can I rewrite this to make more sense or to be more readable?
Right.
Exactly. I really like that.
Yeah. And even if someone is saying, you know, sometimes Sean will repeat things, you know, for emphasis. And sometimes it's like three sentences that's actually saying the same thing. I'll even take the liberty of condensing those three sentences into one, like, really valuable sentence, just to keep people from reading repetitive content.
Sure.
And if something is repetitive, this kind of leads into how we actually format the show notes. So there's several things that we're doing. One is we're breaking up the sections into headers. We're also designating the different people talking. And then the other thing we're doing is we're pulling out interesting parts of the discussion as block quotes. So these are kind of pull quotes with bigger text that we're making kind of just quick takeaways for people. So the way I like to do it is we structure this for several different audiences. So there's the people that just gloss over and skim really quick. Then there's the people who are looking for the nuggets. And then there's the exhaustive readers. So for instance, maybe someone who is in a place where they can't listen to audio, or maybe they have a hearing impairment, they're definitely going to be an exhaustive reader. And we want to cater to people at each of these different levels of engagement. And so the way we do that is a few ways, actually. We tell a story through the headers. So imagine that someone only looks at the headers. What is the message they're getting away from this? Then we're also giving them some of the best stuff in block quote format. And then finally, the things that we bold, because we don't just do regular text for the whole thing, we bold key phrases or elements or takeaways throughout the show notes. And so a lot of people, they'll bold for emphasis, you know, where I'm saying the thing that you really want to do, they'll bold or italicize the word really. But the problem is when someone's skimming, the things they're going to notice are the things that stand out: headers, block quotes, or things that are bold. So when you see the word really and it's bold, that doesn't say anything to me. That doesn't speak to me. So the way that I tell Lacey to bold things is, imagine, would Sean tweet this? You know, is this a takeaway in and of itself? And those are the things we bold.
Yes. So something else to help with the readability real quick is eliminating things that you would say. Again, like it's a verbal use. It's not exactly something you would want to read, but things like gotta, wanna, and gonna, instead of want to, got to, you know. So I typically, you know, I think everyone says that when they're talking, even on podcasts, and I typically change those in the text just because I like reading that more formal way of saying things. Sometimes, you know, if you're using it for humor or like in a certain context, I think it's fine to use, but that's just, I think that might be an opinion thing. When it comes to formatting, you know, when I'm doing headers or block quotes, boldings, italics, things like that, which I'll get into here in just a second, but especially with those, you want to change, you know, those gotta wannas, those kind of words to going to want to, just because I think it makes it stand out. It makes it less casual. It makes it more of a formal statement. And then,
hey, Aaron, I just wanted to ask, I just want to basically give you like the zoom control. Like if this is too macro or too zoomed in, you know, feel free to let us know. We can kind of give you whatever you're looking for.
No, this is great.
Do you think
great.
This is valuable?
This was all stuff that Lacey and I, she went over the stuff with me and it completely changed the way I wrote. So I learned a ton of things. And, you know, I don't consider myself a great writer, but I didn't consider myself a terrible writer either, but it was all this stuff was really valuable to me. So please, Lacey, you know, keep going, share all this stuff. I love it.
Okay. I've got one more tip, just for the writing aspect, and then I'll get into formatting. How I like to format things, or not format, I'm sorry, phrase things. A lot of times, you know, people will state an opinion or they'll say, I think this, mm-hmm. I think people should do this. I believe personally this. And something in the show notes I like to change, especially to help with formatting, is instead of, you know, I personally believe people should invest in great microphones, I will actually change the wording to say people should invest in great microphones. And then that kind of takes us into how I do formatting, which, like Sean said, we're always thinking about takeaways. And so when I'm going into doing show notes, I'm always thinking about readability and takeaways. Those are the two biggest things. And so with formatting, we do block quotes pretty frequently. And as far as block quotes go, they're not pull quotes. I see this a lot in like magazines. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll see like a pull quote, which is actually just a sentence that's been pulled from the actual text. And it's up on the top or on the side of the page or something.
So it's repeated.
It's repeated content. How we like to operate is not having repeated content. So what I like to do is, when I'm formatting block quotes, it's actually part of the context of the text. So, you know, if Sean says a few sentences and then he says this great like golden nugget of value, I'll actually pull that out, do it as a block quote, and then I start a new timestamp right after that sentence. So it just keeps you from having to read the same thing over again. You know, as far as formatting block quotes and boldings throughout the text, we like to bold things throughout the text as well as doing block quotes, just to kind of, you know, make it visually appealing to the reader. And anything that is bolded and anything that's a header, anything that's a block quote are all takeaways in and of themselves.
Speaking of the visually interesting thing, we try to break it up so that If you're scrolling through a bunch of show notes, you basically don't ever get to just a full page, even on a desktop, you know, where there's nothing interesting to look at. There's no header, there's no block quote, there's no bolded phrase. We try to keep it visually interesting so it's not this intimidating wall of text.
Right. Every time you scroll is kind of what I'm looking at too. Mm-hmm. So as far as formatting goes, block quotes, boldings, headers, all of those are things that should be takeaways. And sometimes, you know, there's like golden nuggets that are said throughout the show that maybe, you know, weren't in Sean's notes that he gave me, or he didn't even say in a way actually on the podcast that could be used as a quote. Like sometimes it'll be ambiguous. Like, you know, if you're reading the context of what was actually said, it makes sense.
But, like if I said, yeah, you should always do that for your readers, that's going to get you really good results.
Right. So I would take that quote and I would say, yeah, you should always edit for your readers. You know, whatever the context is, I adjust that ambiguous word to be what the actual context is. So you can look at that sentence and run with it. Like you don't have to know what the paragraph said before that, what it says after. So there's a lot of things that I change in order for it to become a block quote or a bolding or a takeaway or highlight, whatever, or even a header. I'll make headers as well and try to make sure that those are things that someone could just look at, not have to even read it. You know, hopefully they do read it because I work really hard on that. But something else we like to do is every time it switches to a new person talking. So we have Sean and Ben for the Sean West podcast. And I do regular text for Sean and I do italics for Ben. That's just kind of the standard that has been set. And it just kind of creates a visually appealing way to look at other people talking.
Yeah, I just did that originally because I kind of set all of this stuff up when I did the first, you know, I guess it was like the first 100 episodes of the podcast I wrote show notes for. And the reason I did that was just so you could immediately tell at a glance who was talking without having to track back to the beginning of the paragraph.
Right.
It makes it look really nice on the page too, I have to say.
That font's really nice. I love the font.
Yeah.
So real quick on just on headers, sometimes there can be kind of like rapid fire topics, you know, like topics can be really exchanged in a short time. And when you put it on paper, you know, it's only like a couple of sentences. So in that case, I don't like to put big giant headers, you know, every couple of sentences. In that case, I would do like a header that's kind of encompasses what the next several paragraphs are about. And then I can do smaller headers within that to kind of break it down. So if you have, you know, using Aaron as an example, if he's got a whole section on gear, I would put, you know, what gear you need for podcasting. And then within that, you know, if every few sentences he's saying microphones and, you know, these pedals and these things, then within that big paragraph, I would put smaller headers like microphones, pedals, whatever, like whatever breakdown you can get.
Yeah, there were a lot of things for that episode.
Yeah.
I struggled with that one.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I think using smaller headers really works because it, otherwise you just have these big giant headers stacked on top of each other with a few words in between, and it ends up being not as appealing to look at, I think, as a reader. So yeah, just mainly focusing on what you would want to see, what you would want to read.
That's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Like a full-time job.
A little bit.
Oh,
pretty much.
Did you have something else you wanted to say, Lacey?
Sorry, I was just going to say, I know it was like really like detailed things that people may not even care to think about, but...
Well, I don't know if people can believe this, but Lacey, this is, I think, your third podcast to be on ever.
Yeah.
So, well done.
Thanks.
I'm glad you were on this. I think people got a lot of value. People are saying, Brent in the chat room says, new podcast with Lacey on writing, I'm in, and 8 people start it.
I like this. I have to say, if we can plug you real quick, Lacey, you recently started a Twitter, right?
Yes, I did.
I went back and I read all those tweets and I was dying laughing.
I only did it because the community pushed me to. Actually, I got a Twitter account like a long time ago because I was trying to win Jimmy Fallon tickets. Because that's where they announce their tickets. And so I was trying really hard to get tickets. And then...
But you have these really hilarious Facebook statuses.
Right.
And I keep trying to... All of us are trying to encourage you to start blogging, start writing more.
Yeah. So here, this is something I was going to mention a lot earlier. You know, when you were talking about, you know, the 10,000 word show notes that I write. It's a whole different animal, you know, writing 10,000 words of show notes based on things that are already said and than it is to write 10,000 fresh words out of your head. Like, it's so much different. So, you know, it's like it's a whole different ballgame. It's editing, basically. It's dictation and editing versus actually writing a blog post.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I think the dynamic that you guys have of both preparing an outline and a post in advance, podcasting about it, and then doing the dictation and editing type writing afterwards, it turns into this really, really awesome piece of writing that I think really stands on its own, even without the audio content, even without the podcast. Someone could go visit that and read it and find it incredibly valuable
And it's almost like a whole new thing. You know, you go back and it's like, yeah, we did say that, but it's presented in such a new context. And, you know, it's definitely very different without the personality and the audio, but it's like a whole new thing. You know, I go back and I read stuff and it's like I'm reading just a whole new post that I've never even seen before.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. You know, it all comes back to trying to provide something valuable to not just your podcast listeners, but maybe anyone who is looking for answers on that subject. And if you talk about something great on a podcast, writing out detailed show notes is a great way for other people who may not be interested in listening to the audio. They may still be able to find that and digest it and appreciate it and share it with their friends. So I really like the idea. And I had never seen someone write show notes like Sean West writes show notes. So
it's a pretty high standard to live up to.
It really is.
Well, you see,
but it's fun.
The way I think of it is set a high standard and then bring people on and they have something to live up to. You know, if you don't ever get in there and do the hard work yourself, and you just hire someone to do something that you never did or you never worked at, you know, there's not really any kind of standard, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And I have to say, it was the first episode was hugely challenging. I think it was like 7,000 or 8,000 words that I wrote in that like dictating style. But even the ones after that, it's all been challenging, but it's been hugely rewarding. And I feel really, really proud of the show notes that I've done so far.
And Aaron, I don't know how much you've talked about it already, but you're going to be coming out with at least, I think you've got a couple courses planned. You've been working on these for months, if not longer. And that's another thing about doing show notes like this, writing, preparing for your episodes, writing show notes afterward. By the time you've got some episodes, some podcasts underneath your belt, you've basically got this curriculum.
Yes.
You know, you've got all of this material that's written that you can very easily turn into a course.
Yep.
That's it. That's an advantage you have over other people, other podcasters that don't take the time to actually do good show notes.
And not only that, but I think I'm not taking on additional editing clients right now because I just have so much work to do. I'm, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. But I feel like that having these show notes, having these blog posts that accompany my podcast episodes, anyone who visits the page is going to see that I really know what I'm talking about when it comes to these subjects. And I think that no matter what your niche is, if you're taking these subjects and you're writing about them, if you're recording a podcast and you're writing show notes, then that shows you're an authority. That shows you know how to look at this and you know some answers and you can share value. I think that's something that as a freelancer or as someone who's looking for a job in a specific industry, it's great to have that to point people to say, hey, you know, this is my writing. This is how I think. This is what I know about.
I'm so glad you brought that up, the whole authority thing. If you want to make a name for yourself, write daily. That's how people see that you're an authority. They look at your website. They look at how much you've written on a certain topic, and they say, this guy's an authority. It's very clear. It's very apparent. It's not immediately apparent when all you have is an audio file or an MP3 embedded with a two-sentence description. That does not create authority. You might get lucky in the super long run. If you do that for 5 or more years, people might say, oh yeah, kind of notice he's done some stuff. But you want to get the fast track, write every single day. And if you want a podcast, if you want to start with audio, then start with audio and turn it into writing, because writing's the key. I'm really glad you brought up the authority thing.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's huge. And you learn more by preparing. There are, like I've said this before, but there are going to be shows that I have to go out and do a bunch of research so I can write about it, so I can podcast about it. So if you start with the mindset of I want to provide value, I want to write about this, I want to do a good job with it, then you have to go out and you have to learn, you have to make sure you can communicate those takeaways and share that knowledge. And you know, you're growing as a person, as in whatever niche you want to grow in, by writing and by sharing those things.
Love it.
It's good stuff, man. I think that's a good place to end it, unless you or Lacey had anything else you want to talk about.
No, that was solid.
Yeah, that was good.
Awesome. So, Sean, where can people go to find you and Lacey online?
Oh, Lacey, what do you want to share? Do you want to tell people where they can go for you?
Oh, Lacey. Sure. Can you do us a favor? Mm-hmm. Would you mind reading one of your tweets on air?
Okay.
If you want to follow Lacey on Twitter, she's at Lacey Janae, and we're going to have to spell that for you. LACIJANEA.
I think, okay, probably one of my favorites is we have this annual tradition where I cook seafood and then we have pizza for dinner.
Yes, that was one of my favorites too.
Yeah, that tells you what my seafood cooking skills are like.
You've got good.
And also my love for pizza.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that speaks more to how much pizza Sean eats. It worries me some because I love pizza too, but you know, I try to eat healthy.
Yeah, so do I. And then there's always pizza in my face.
I would just have you here talking about reading your tweets on air. That's terrible. No, it's actually great. Anyways, so Lacey Jacinia on Twitter.
What? What?
Did I say that right? Wait, I said Jacinia. Nope. I'm sorry. Jania?
It's Lacey Janae, but it's spelled LACIJANEA.
Okay. I just totally screwed that up. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I know what it is.
Is this the show? Maybe. Are we still on the air?
We'll edit this all out.
And if you want to find Erroneous Dowd, he's at thepodcastdude.com.
Yeah, I'm thepodcastdude.com. And Sean, if anyone hasn't listened to your podcast yet or read your show notes, I believe it's just seanwest.com/podcast.
Yeah, I would love if you checked out the podcast.
I'm speaking to the listener right now. If you haven't heard Sean's podcast, it's fantastic. Go check it out.
Thanks, man.
In other news, you reopened the community this morning.
Oh, yeah. We were closed down for almost 2 months just doing some, you know, development stuff behind the scenes, some improvements. But yes, it's back open, seanwest.com/community. Do you want to tell them the relevance of the community to this show in particular?
Yeah, the community is the best place on the internet, I believe. Now, the community is phenomenal. We're streaming live to the community right now. It's a place you can hang out. You've got a chat room, an app, both for Mac, and it's a web app too, right? Web app, Mac app, iOS app.
Yep.
We hang out, we talk, people share stories, ask questions, get feedback. We talk about writing, podcasting, designing, lettering. Man, there's so many amazing things. It's just a great place full of amazing, smart, beautiful people. Whew, I can't recommend it enough. It's so great.
Now, why would people want to go sign up for the community when they're listening to a show on podcasting?
Because it's a place to share. Like, people are listening to me right now, but I'm not listening to them. I don't know if that works. It's a great place to hang out and get feedback about what you're struggling with, what you have questions about. It's a network of amazing people, you know? Man, back in when I started trying to write in 2010, I think, I wasn't a part of any online communities. It was just kind of me by myself in a small town in Texas. It was really lonely. But now that I have the community, I have a place I can go to talk to people, to ask questions, to hear what they're struggling, to share, you know, to share my struggles. And it's so valuable. It's great.
It is great. It's like a group of, you know, it's like a co-working group, essentially. Digital water cooler. You know, you can just check in, chat with people. There's live shows every single day. All of the other shows on the Sean West Network, we stream live in the community. And the community, this is how we're able to do all of these shows on the network sponsor free. So, you know, if you're enjoying the podcast, it's a great way to help us out.
Yeah. Nora Camp said what I should have. You can listen to the podcast dude live. Not sure anyone will after this episode.
None of this will make it to the podcast, right?
Maybe.
You'll cut all of it out.
Maybe. It's my show. I do what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have to say it was really great having you guys on today.
It was great to be on. Thanks.
Sean, I have to ask you. This is outer space time right here, right?
Oh, not on this show.
Okay, so I can talk at this point.
This is your outro.
Yes.
There's going to be so much editing.
I'm a good editor, or so I'm told. All right, so
maybe.
Oh. All right, so we're in the after show.
Yes.
Does anyone have any questions? Anyone still listening?
You're doing questions?
Yeah, we can do some questions.
You know what? Corey Miller had a good question that I really wish that I had brought into the show when I was talking about.
Let's do it.
Writing. He said, should I invest in dictation software to prepare for show notes? And I thought that was a really good question because I actually started out with dictation software. And I'm not sure how much Sean, who is that?
we're having problems with names today.
I know.
It's the weather. It's humid.
I haven't had enough coffee today, I think. So I don't know how much Sean actually used the dictation software, but I've actually completely stopped using it after like maybe 2 or 3 months. Just because, I don't know, I would say it depends on how fast you type.
Mm.
Because the dictation software is not very good at dictating, honestly. It does an okay job. It might be like 50%. And the other 50% is you having to change words that don't make any sense that were put in there. So it'll like think you said something totally different than you actually said sometimes. And so I, not to like brag or something, but I can type like 90 words a minute. So it's faster for me to just type out, you know, what I want to say instead of like, you know, scrolling through and changing words from the dictation software. So,
I have two questions now. How did you get so fast at typing? And that's actually a serious question.
I don't know. I mean, I guess lots of practice. I remember being like in second grade or something, and my mom made me use this, like learning how to type software, and I hated it, and I complained about it so much,
super
and it was
boring.
So dumb. It was boring and dumb, but I remember having to do it like every day for what felt like 20 years.
Wow.
And so now I actually like recently I was like, thanks mom for making me do that because I can actually type pretty fast.
What kind of homeschooling did you have? Because we had this awesome typing program where it was like underwater and in outer space. And like when you type the right letters, you're actually like shooting bullets and stuff. It's like the best thing ever.
This was definitely not that cool. There was like a little Einstein character that would like tell you when you did something wrong. And I was like, I don't want to deal with this.
Forget that.
Yeah.
I think I had something that was in between. But I think it is a good idea for people, if you're not strong in typing, if you're not comfortable typing, do spend some time investing in learning how to type better. There's a lot of free online software, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It is good something to practice. Yeah, and Devin says how to learn to type faster, don't look at the keyboard while you type. That touch typing, right? So that'll be a lot faster. Anyways, the other question I had, and this might be a question for both of you guys, I've actually considered, for shows like this, I've considered paying a transcriptionist to do the transcript first as opposed to just using a software. What do you guys think about that? And have you explored that, talked about that in the past?
We actually have talked about it, I think. But I don't know what your decision was on that. Obviously, I guess your decision was to bring me on to do it. But
well, I would like to hire someone that's dedicated just to doing show notes. But It was basically like a money thing. You know, we have the capabilities to do it in-house. And even if we hired a transcriptionist, there's still a lot more work to be done because we don't just do a straight transcript. So it's basically like, okay, great. We have the exact words. Now we need to rewrite the whole thing, format it, add timestamps, headers, and block quotes.
Right. And yeah, they wouldn't know how to.
They wouldn't know how to do it unless they were trained specifically for the way that we do things.
And they wouldn't go back and listen to like 170 episodes to like know how you talk and think and write. So.
Yeah, that's the short answer, but I'm not saying that it wouldn't be worth it for a lot of people.
Yeah, because like obviously I'm gonna take the show and do that kind of super transcription where you do all those extra formatting things. But for me, I don't think I'm that fast of a writer. I think I can do like 70 words per minute, somewhere around there. But I wonder if it would, for like an hour long show, if it would almost be more cost effective for me to pay a transcriptionist. And maybe you can answer this to get me the start, you know, get the transcription started and then have me take it and format it, do all those other things. Or if it would just be too much money and I'd end up doing so much writing that it wouldn't be worth it. I guess you already kind of answered it. It's something I'm still thinking about whether it would save me enough time to justify the cost.
I think it might save you time. I mean, yeah, it would probably save you time, but then you are going to have to spend the time to go through and edit and to make it readable because it's going to be purely,
right?
You know,
transcription.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Kyle Adams says tired Sean is the best.
How are you doing, Sean?
Aaron, I've been up for like, I don't know, 2 days.
Are you going to go to bed after this?
The show.
It's like a day.
It's your show. You have to end the show.
Oh, you're ready for me to end.
So ready to be done.
All right. Well, congratulations on the launch. Thank you for coming on the show.
I'm just playing that up, by the way. I'm just kidding. I'm glad to be here.
Okay. Well, I mean, we can go unless anyone else has any final questions. You guys got 3 seconds.
It's like the longest show ever.
It's not that. Was it that long?
This is the after show.
Don't people have to sleep?
No, you have to sleep. Are you going to
you.
That's just me.
Are you going to sleep after this?
So angry.
That's probably a no.
Sean. You need to get some sleep, dude.
I think I'm sleeping right now. Listen to a podcast about writing. What is this?
It was valuable, apparently.
It wasn't that bad.
Everyone loved it.
I think I was kind of afraid because show notes are like the most boring topic ever to me. Maybe because I do them all day, every day.
Yeah, I think for people that want to do a great job with podcasting, for people that want to provide valuable content and really grow an audience, I think that the show notes have been hugely helpful for you for that, Sean.
Oh, definitely. And Keshna asked a really great question, which is how do you keep going when you really haven't slept? The answer is Aaron doesn't end the show. There's no option. I have to keep
the
going.
The answer is Sean's a robot.
I'm a slave driver.
That's the only reason I'm here.
I'm a slave driver. All right. This is the end, guys. Thank you for listening live. We'll see you all in the chat. Sean and Lacey, have a great rest of the week.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having us on.
All right, cool. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.